Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Wendell Sutter, who's just applied moisturiser.
He's just pulled out a green bottle of rich repairing lotion.
My skin's a bit dry.
Actually, can I have some lotion? My hands are...
I haven't seen
Wendell blow his nose in 5 years. And he's carrying a box of tissue.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
It is very, very pleasant to be here. I'm in the company of these gentlemen once more after a couple of weeks' break, and it's great to be here at Allianz Stadium on a beautiful day for footy, where the Roosters will take on the Titans as we speak in the New South Wales Cup. It is 10-4 Wyong over Canterbury at Bankstown. Plenty to get to in the couple of hours we have to share with you. We heard in the news there, Wendell Sale, I know you're a cricket tragedy.
Yes.
Australia being beaten by Bangladesh, making a bit of history. Were you... totally devastated?
Yeah, I was shattered, but I wasn't surprised because, you know, they've been holidaying for a little while and haven't been in the nets and that, so sometimes that's not going to help you, and obviously that wicket was pretty tough. But Davey Warner, he made 100, and I thought, mate, the boys are going to get home here, but well done to Bangladesh. I think, what's his name? No, I don't know his name, but took 10 wickets.
John took 10 wickets.
So yeah, we're struggling.
Yeah, we do. They've got a pretty good team, Bangladesh, obviously, in Australia, in a very poor position ahead of the Ashes as well. The England were also...
they got beat though as well, didn't they?
Yeah, by West Indies.
Yeah, so there is hope still. All right, though, it is time right now for this...
Foxy, bring it to me, Jimmy Fox, with the moisturizer.
Welcome back
with the Dirty Sanchez.
Keep those tissues away. Okay, so firstly, Tone, Nathan Brown got the Eels Player of the Year this season this week. Yep. And I'll tell you what, G's been an outstanding buy for Parramatta, arguably the buy of the year. I think he's a contender for the Dally M Lock of the Year, which is going to be a crack field. Mm-hmm. The likes of Josh Maguire, the likes of Jason Tormalolo, Sammy Burgess. But I think at the moment, he's only signed until the end of next year. I think the Eels are going to have to look to upgrade and extend him beyond that. So great news for Parramatta fans, because he has been an absolute powerhouse for them this year. He was crook last night. He was crook all week. So he's got out of his sick bed. I believe he only was on very light duties if he trained at all during the week. But he soldiered on and obviously got through that game last night, and can't wait to see what he can bring to the table in the finals.
Weren't you early in the year the man who put him up as the State of Origin? He should be jumping in.
Oh, Tony, you're
ahead of the game, aren't
listen
you?
To me early in the year. You'll always get something out of it. There'll be value coming back at some point. But you're just catching on after a few years, Tony. It's good. I'm glad you got a good memory. Doesn't I also tipped the Eels a long, long time ago to finish in the top four, but that's what I've forgotten about as well.
The other big news at the moment, or the other flavour of the month over the course of the last few weeks, has been James Graham and whether or not he is going to go to the St. George Illawarra Dragons. I think he's definitely going, Tone. So bouncing Billy Harrigan, or otherwise known as Binoculars Billy Harrigan, was on the money with the mail that he got off his mate in the pub. Mind you, Brent Reed wants to claim that. He reckons he actually aired the night before on Reedy's mail. So fair play there. James Graham,
Reedy,
it's going to be
versus a bloke in the pub.
Yeah, okay. Versus Billy, versus Binoculars Billy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a three-year deal. The Bulldogs will have to obviously freight a lot of that next year, but then St. George Illawarra are going to give him 2 years. Beyond that, no options or anything like that. So I think it's a good move for the Dragons. So I think it's a good move for James Graham too. I think we'll see him play.
It's not a good move for the Bulldogs though, is it? Because they're going to be paying all these guys to be playing for other clubs.
Yep, awful. We spoke about it only moments ago.
But it happens a lot. You know, Robbie Farrow was in the same situation. He was being paid, wasn't he? By the Tigers.
He was paid by the Tigers this season. Absolutely. Yep. The other one, look, Dylan Napa won't play today. He's been rested. I reckon this is really smart coaching from Trent Robinson. Dylan Napa played his first State of Origin series this year. You blokes both know, because you went through it plenty of times. It takes a lot out of you playing at that elite level. So I think leading into the finals, as much as you hear people say you want to go in with momentum, I think Dylan had shown some signs, according to a couple of people that I spoke to at the Roosters over the last few weeks, that he'd just been a little bit flat. So they thought, okay, well, Robbo thought, right, I'll give him a rest today, and then just bring him back ready to absolutely launch into the final series. So
doesn't he? Yeah, look, he gets that right, Trent Robinson, doesn't he? Look what he did at the start of the year. Yep. He did it with Boyd, but he also did it with Latrell Mitchell. Yes. Gave him a little break and put him back in Reggie's and did whatever. So, yeah, he's... he usually gets those decisions right.
I was wondering whether Craig Bellamy would do the same thing, because it's, you know, they've nothing really for them to play for, Melbourne Storm. Why wouldn't he just do wholesale resting? I mean, it was what happened. It's why in the AFL this weekend there's no football, because they rested almost an entire team. You know, there wasn't, what happened in that result game wasn't going to affect where they stood in the finals. Rested everybody, so suddenly there's a week off. Is there no real reason for Craig Bellamy not to do something like that?
I reckon it's a little bit horses for courses, Tone. And I know with Craig Bellamy, he rested some Melbourne players a few years back, and I think it backfired, because I think that was the year that they then went and played the Bulldogs in the finals in the first week. The Dogs had finished seventh, and the Dogs rolled them, and they went out the back door in that final series. So I know Craig leaves it up to his players. He trusts his senior players. So we'll wait and see whether they do decide to rest players this week.
We know Cameron Smith doesn't like to miss a game.
Well, he's missed four already. Yeah. We spoke to him a few weeks ago after one of the games, and he said, look, I've already had four games off. It was after the game where they, and Cooper's already missed a couple of games, and we know that Billy's missed a large contingent of this year and the previous couple of seasons. So really, the only other guys, Will Chambers, he's probably played a fair bit of footy, but the other guys that aren't playing representative football, I mean, they don't need to be missing footy. It's only those key guys. Munster's missed a lot of footy this year through injury, and Bromwich has obviously had a few weeks off there along the way as well. So the scary thing about the Storm is they are all fresh. None of them need a break, and they will be banging on all cylinders going
into
the finals.
They're going to be a hell of a force in September, Tane. And just finally, tune into the Weekend Wrap on Fox League tomorrow, hosted by Yvonne Sampson. She'll be joined by Mick Ennis, and special guest tomorrow is Corey Norman from everybody's favourite team, the Blue and Gold Parramatta Eels. Right.
And James Hooper will be at his usual chair.
Is that your new show, Hoops?
I'll be doing my best.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's flying.
Good one?
It's going really good.
Oh, you must.
Glad you're
must
watching it.
A great job. It's on Sundays. What am I doing on Sunday?
Yeah, worth it, mate.
I'll record it and go home.
Yeah, I knew you'd IQ it. I knew you would.
Yeah, I watched the week before last episode this morning. It was terrific. Really good.
That's what I do with back page. Yeah.
What channel's that on again?
NRL Stock Market is
the new channel.
Saturday.
I can't find it.
For Brighton's Lawyers. This is Saturday, Triple M NRL. We do it for Brighton's Lawyers. Now, just remember, you can hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. Just download the Triple M NRL app and do it right now. New South Wales Cup, Wyong 16, lead Canterbury 4. Just 9 minutes to go in the first half right here at Allianz Stadium. The Roosters taking on the Titans. That starts. Kickoff is 3 o'clock. Maroon will be here to call that game for you right now. We'll do a little bit of this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
All right, I'm going to run a couple of categories past you, gentlemen, and see whether you like, whether you're buying, whether you're selling, whether you are holding. the whole notion of Mad Monday, it's on again, and for some clubs, this coming Monday, after their final hit out of the season, whether it be today or anyway this weekend. Are you buying Mad Monday, Ryan Girdler? Are you selling or you're holding Mad Monday?
Everyone buys on Mad Monday. I think everyone.
That door was just swinging open.
Tony, what are you doing? Mad Monday's a great day and done in the right environment. I think that the players should be allowed to go out and celebrate and have a little bit of fun, let their hair down, and as long as it's, as I said, you know, done in the right manner,
their own hair,
and they should get into it. So I'll buy a bit of the Mad Monday, Tony.
Okay,
I'll buy it,
because as we look, and I was reading the paper this morning, the Rabbitohs, no Mad Monday, normal day with season debrief, which sounds a bit dry for the end of the season. And we come and watch
that's
the video,
a pack of sales,
watch it. Very very dry. The Bulldogs will have a club-organised event in the city, and the Raiders, they're continuing the Mad Monday ban under coach Ricky Stewart. That's apparently since
It's just a term, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure the Raiders guys are going to get together and have a beer at a barbecue or do something.
Sure. So
they just decided to call it Mad Monday?
Monday. Maybe they don't get dressed up.
Yeah,
I don't think. I think in this day and age, you don't need Mad Monday. I reckon they should just get rid of Mad Monday.
You're selling Mad Monday?
Yeah, I'm selling. I just don't think. I think the game's come too far. We don't need Mad Monday. You know, it's a different environment. You know, I've got a young bloke now playing in that juniors, and even for them, I don't really. Mad Monday's been and gone now.
What's in that lotion that you've been rubbing on your hands? Why? You're the Dual International, mate. How many Mad Mondays did you get, Man of the Match?
It rubs the lotion on its skin.
You've just killed Mad Monday.
No, I'm all for the boys getting together. They can go and have lunch or whatever, but I think the term Mad Monday just opens it up.
So the name, your
bit of both.
Selling the name.
But I just think in this environment...
We need to rebrand Mad Monday, we do. Is what Wendell's saying.
You don't need to put extra pressure, I think, on clubs and the game.
How does Terrible Tuesday sound?
Wacky Wednesday.
Look, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Clearly, what the NRL doesn't want, no club wants, is to see any of the kind of atrocities
negative,
and headlines.
Exactly. Headlines
and behaviour, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're celebrating or not, no matter how many drinks you get into, you know.
If you're out, especially if you're out in, if you find yourself out in public. You need to act like a member of the public.
Yep.
You know, and if you're in a big group, that's why it's good if they all sort of go to the same area and they get sort of locked away somewhere and they can just have a bit of fun and not annoy anyone, not get up to any mischief. But that's boring sometimes, isn't it? So then they want to get in the public and then it gets a little bit pear-shaped.
It's so interesting that they have to be locked away, isn't it, for that to have a party. What we're going to do is we're going to take you to an upstairs room, they pull the curtains, close the door
and
throw
the... Well, Nick Walshaw wrote a great story in the Telegraph today, which was essentially choppy close, talking about how back in the 1980s, if camera phones and mobile phones and Instagram and all of the social media and all of the technology that has changed the world existed, then people would have been locked up on Mad Monday.
Of course.
But, you know, times have changed. So I just think we're sanitising life a little bit too much if we're saying that you can't.
What's the difference between a Mad Monday and a Bucks Day or a Hen's Night or whatever it may be? You know, I mean, they're...
But I think
big groups of people getting together, you can't get into public places anyway.
Imagine they ban Triple M Christmas Party, Wendell. Yeah. What would you say?
Mate, so be it. Mate, it wouldn't worry me. I don't think I've been to a Triple M Christmas Party since I've been here, mate.
Yeah.
So it does really worry me.
Me either. I haven't even invited.
Yeah, same.
I got a Christmas party. You don't even get invited to the social drink.
Oh, I know. So I'm in no danger.
No.
Look, my daughter's baby shower. I haven't been invited to that either. That's coming up as well. All right, so what you're
holding
Mad Monday. Where are you holding it? Or come.
Just in the top pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'll just look what's in the top pocket. Mate.
Okay. All right. There's Mad Monday for you. What about Josh Dugan? He has had some troubles. We understand he's told the Dragons for tomorrow. If he's at the bus stop, that means he's playing. He has, again, committed too many atrocities, I wouldn't have thought, yet he has been guilty of not thinking things through properly for his club, and he's got himself into some dramas. He's off to the Sharks next season. Wendell, are you buying, selling, or holding on the Josh Dugan story?
For next year, I'm buying Josh Dugan. I still think, look, there are a couple of little things. He hasn't really put a foot wrong since, I mean, I know there's the Origin stuff, and I think, you know, this latest one, and then apparently he missed a flight to Brisbane or something, or whatever.
And there was a flight home.
There are a couple of little things, but look, he hasn't done anything to the magnitude of sitting on a, you know, I suppose a rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
With Bacardi Breezes trying to fight Dave Ferner, or tell Dave Ferner to go and get stuffed.
Yeah.
I'm buying Josh Dugan. He's just got to probably check himself a little bit at the moment.
Oops.
I'm with Wendell. Yeah, I'm going to buy Josh Dugan. I think this will be the kick in the bum that he needs. I think when he goes to Cronulla, he's going to have good senior figures at the club who can hopefully show him the right direction and show him that there's certain things that are acceptable and aren't acceptable about professional footy. So, yeah, I'm going to have a little buy of Josh.
I would have thought that Paul McGregor and the
I reckon where it went pear-shaped at the red V-tone is that... the contract negotiations were an ongoing arm wrestle, and Josh thought he was worth so much money and they wanted to pay him centre money and all that. And I think that's where the disconnect really kicked off at the Dragons.
Right. Well, Tony, the economy only works if someone's buying and someone's selling. And if these two guys are buying, I've got to sell, don't I? I mean, otherwise, we're going to start going round and round. So, look, I don't think Josh has done anything too serious. He probably needs a change of club at the moment, probably a change of position, a good freshen up. But if these guys are going to have a nibble, I'll offload a little bit of Josh.
All right, you play the game. You really play the game.
You're so good.
Still with, potentially with the Dragons then, James Graham, if the story is true, that he's likely to, obviously hasn't yet, but if he's about to sign a contract with St George Illawarra, he's 32 years old.
In November, Tone.
32 in November.
So he's 31.
Yeah, okay.
I hate, you know, they always round it off, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, especially the journalists that want to make it a bigger story.
Yeah.
He's 32, he's a three-year deal. He's actually 31.
Yeah.
I was actually trying to help Tone, because that would have been his third loose carry for the day. But anyway, that's all right. That's That's all right.
Oh. Jeez, they're ganging up on you right there, buddy.
Really? Right? Would we call that a loose carry? 32.
Well, you said he's 32. I didn't want to say no, Tony. He's actually 31. Anyway, that's okay, right. Well, so I have, 32 you know, in November.
In my defense, I haven't said you're an idiot either yet.
Oh! Fine, don't worry about
that. You won't be the first, don't worry about that.
Don't worry about McGregor Mayweather. All right, Squires and Hooper,
haven't
let's get it on.
Have you seen Hooper's triceps?
Yeah. I have actually, huge. So what do you think about James Graham and that decision, if it's a couple of years, is he going to be a good servant for the Dragons? Personally, I think he's the kind of guy who has obviously shown great leadership over the years, can play a bit of ball playing as well as the charging into the ruck. What do you think, Wendell?
Oh, I'm holding on James Graham because, you know, he I think he debuted at 17-18. He's, you know, been a part of 7 or 8 grand finals. He needs a change. The Dragons could be good for him, but I just think at 32, they've got some good young forwards down there. I just don't know if he's going to add that extra dimension to the Dragons forward pack.
In terms of good young forwards, you mean coming through from the 20s?
Yeah.
Or
oh, there's a couple of good there. Yeah,
and obviously, Tarek Sims, will he have a more? He's been coming from the bench a bit, you know, this season, obviously, and it's picked up beautifully, I think, towards the back end of the season.
Yeah, and Paul Vaughan, I think he had his little dip, and he's going to be better for this year.
Is Lee Snarmow there again next season?
Yeah, he's there. So, yeah, they've got a really good mix. You know, Tyson Frizzell, obviously, he's an absolute gun. I love Tyson. And Joel Thompson. So, look, it could be what they need there. I just don't know. Mate, I think his body, mate, the way that he's played over the years, I just don't know, at 32. I'm going to hold.
Oops.
I'm going to buy Tone. Yep. I think it'll be good for James, and I think it'll be good for the Dragons. The three-year deal doesn't worry me because I think their plan is that they'll play him off the bench. So Tarek Sims will step up to the starting role. Yep. Paul Vaughan's obviously a starting prop. They've got a gun back row in Tyson Frizzell, Jack DeBellin, and Joel Thompson. So I think what they're going to look for from James is just some experience, some leadership, some ball playing off the interchange bench. So I think it'll be a great buy, especially considering the Dogs are paying the majority of his freight next year.
Yeah, I'm buying. I think he'll be great for the club. Look, he's got so many different attributes that I just don't think that we see at the Bulldogs and the way that he can play, and I think that Mary will certainly get the best out of him in that regard. I think he'll be a bench player as well, but Origin time, they're going to lose Frizzell, they're going to lose to Bell, and I think he could even come on and play a really nice role at 13 for him if needed, you know, like what we've seen with Nathan Brown and that now, like, you know, ball distributing and you know, leading the sort of line defence. And, yeah, I think it's a really smart play by the Dragons, and I think he'll be a great addition. So I'll snap him up.
A real young, good young kid, Blake Laurie. He's a
blocker. He's had a couple of first grade starts.
Junior Kangaroo and that, New South Wales 20s this year. He's a gun player. He's
and speaking of Kangaroos, the Wyong Roos at halftime in the New South Wales Cup, they lead the Bulldogs 16-14. All thanks to Iveco Trucks. We will preview the main game that kicks off at 3 o'clock. It is the Roosters taking on the Titans. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Oh! With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle! Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
Lovely to have your company on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Some great footy in store. Already some terrific games have been played. The Broncos 20 over the Cowboys 10, and the Eels 22 beating the Rabbitohs 16. Let's look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. Now, just a reminder, obviously, you will hear this call from the Roosters and the Titans kicking off at 3 o'clock, but you can also listen to the ridiculously biased Roosters call. This is good. This, of course, is Fletch, Pagey, and Gus Warland. You just have to download the Triple M NRL app and go to the link for the ridiculous biased Roosters call. I can't imagine how that won't work, just listening to Fletch and Gus and Pagey just loving the Roosters.
That was so funny.
If you just want to be angry and you're a Titans fan, that's probably what you should be doing, I guess, to have a listen to that. We'll catch up with those boys a little bit later before they get into their call. All right, there's a bit of controversy, and I'm not sure how angry clubs really are about the prospect of a testimonial game for Cameron Smith.
Oh, they're angry, Tone.
They're angry?
Yeah,
Cameron Smith and Jonathan Thurston. Yeah. Now, these two guys, obviously, pillars of our game and have been terrific. The notion is that they will be exempt from salary cap. And they will have a preview, a game next year. I think it's a preseason game of the two teams, and they will benefit from it. Now, as what they have done for the game, for their clubs, I don't really see a massive problem with this. Where's the angst coming from, Hoops?
Oh, look, any time that you get a leg up in rugby league or that there's a perception that someone is getting an unfair advantage over other clubs, then you can guarantee, you can set your watch by it, that the other clubs will start to throw the toys out of the cot and blow up. And so that's exactly what they've done. I think it was Manly, yep, quoted in the paper today, not happy about it. I've spoken to a number of other clubs around the game that are all fuming about it.
What, and they could have done it with Brett Stewart.
Yeah, they could have, absolutely. Or Steve, like for Manly, yep, they could have done it with a Steve Mattai.
Jamie Lyon.
At the Sydney Roosters, for example, they could have done it perhaps with an Anthony Minicello or a Luke Ricketson. Yes, Jamie Lyon, exactly. So, the other clubs is just basically they feel as though Melbourne and North Queensland are getting an unfair advantage for two of the absolute gun players in the competition. Me personally,
what advantage are they getting though?
I don't really have that much of a problem with it. Essentially, they're saying these blokes are going to get an extra $750K a year on top of what they normally get paid anyway.
But how's that advantage the club?
It's not a it's a salary cap loophole.
But how's that
it's exempt
the
from
club?
The salary cap?
But how's that advantage the club? Has it advantaged the club if the NRL have put in a criteria where they're basically saying that every player is obviously going to be judged on their value in the salary cap and that you already need to be on an existing contract if you're going to have one of these so-called testimonials?
It's not about how it's advantaged Melbourne or it's about how it's advantaged North Queensland. It's about how it's disadvantaged other clubs. How it's disadvantaged Manly. It's disadvantaged.
How has it disadvantaged them?
Got players who could have qualified for the same style.
Well, why didn't they bring it up?
But they have. But how does that disadvantage the club? If they wanted to keep Jamie Lyon and he was already on a contract, they can't then throw the carrot of, well, hey, Jamie, you take 250, we're going to give you a $250,000 testimonial game and then you get 500,000 and we keep you and that benefits everyone. It can't work like that. The other clubs can't do that. So I just don't know how it disadvantages.
We know what you mean. A player must have been at a club for at least 10 consecutive years, made 250 NRL appearances, be contracted for the season of the testimonial, which must be a trial with a charity component. So therefore, I think that's right. So what they're saying is that you can't just give this guy, say, look, we're going to pay you this much this year because you're going to get a testimonial.
The
NRL has to agree that this guy's being paid what he's worth anyway, within the salary cap. And then if they have been such a great servant to the game as well, and I think the criteria also includes off-field behaviour, there's a whole range of things that make them the eligibility quite specific and narrow.
And I think for a guy like Sammy Thaiday that's up at Brisbane now, the carrot could possibly be a reward for, you know, some of the loyalties that he's shown with the Brisbane Broncos. So say, for instance, he's off contract at the back end of their next year. They're saying, well, you're not going to have a contract. And they can then come out and say, look, the NRL have said that you're a $400,000 payer, Sammy, at the moment in this stage of your career. So we have to put you on the cap at 400. We'll keep you. We'll take that. But then we're going to give you the benefit because you've been so loyal to us to repay the fans of another $200,000 benefit of a testimonial. That doesn't disadvantage another club, does it?
No. We're back live. Wendell, what are your thoughts on the testimonial? Think it's the right move?
Yeah, I'm happy for it. I think those two players have...
Did I just say all that for nothing, Tom?
They've done a lot in the game and I've got no problems with it. I think the boys explained there. No one gets an unfair advantage. So, and it happens all over the world, especially in English Rugby League and Super League.
I should just explain.
What's happened?
Well, what's happened? Look, Hoops.
He's been covering.
He's been watching Conor McGregor too much, let's just say that.
I just confused him.
And a funny Irish word came out accidentally.
Gerd's confused me with numb.
You were befuddled.
I was dividing, and then there were square roots. No, I couldn't follow.
Okay.
Yes, there was a bad word said on air, and we didn't want people to hear it. So now we're back live.
Just
have I explained it accurately
next time,
enough?
Say earmuffs. If you're going to drop the bomb, Hoops. Earmuffs. Go Hoops.
You are listening to Saturday Triple M NRL, and we're doing a very, very good job.
You just solved that too, and it got done.
Exactly. Plenty to come, all thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers. We are at Allianz Stadium. The Roosters taking on the Titans. Let's have a look at some of the other footy that has already been played this round. The final round of the season proper, the Type R scoreboard, the Broncos and the Cowboys. The Broncos got the job done 20-10. The Darius Boyd injury, I guess, was the worst thing to come out of that game for the Broncos, although it looks like only a one-week kind of thing. What did you make of the game, Del?
Yeah, look, I think the Broncos, you know, they had to bounce back after getting embarrassed by the Parramatta Eels. The Cowboys, look, geez, they have played some pretty good football for being undermanned, but the Bronx went up there with an attitude that they needed to play some finals. It was a finals type of atmosphere, and you know, the way that they started, you could just tell there was intent there. Josh McGuire through the middle, he played pretty well. Darius Boyd at the back, I think he had 120 metres in the first half before he got injured, you know. So I think Wayne sort of, I wouldn't say put him on show, but sort of said that as a captain, he's probably not playing his best football. So Darius took that personally, as all good players do. But I just, the style of football that the Broncos played, you know, they were going through the middle, they were moving them around. And the worst thing you can do is rush a player like Anthony Milford. The Milford was just carving him up, and then young Nick Arima was doing his magic out wide there. So, and James Roberts, you know, scored a try in his 100th game. So that's the style of football that the Broncos, you know, that we know the Broncos can play. But I was really happy about their defence. You know, I think the Cowboys scored a try late there. They repelled him a few times, and that's the style of football that Wayne, you know, sort of wants that team to play. But also, he actually put out an SOS to Peter Ryan, you know, defensive coach.
Yep.
So, you know, sometimes late in the season, you need a bit of a freshen up, and it's a bit of a bad attitude.
You would have played with him, Peter Ryan?
Oh, mate, tough.
It's a weapon,
tough as nails. Mate, I think, I remember on a Mad Monday, I didn't drink in my first or second year there. And Rhino's he's a very old school sort of, you know, bloke, and he's sort of on the drink, and he just sort of said to me, you're scared of me, aren't you? Like, sort of half on. And I was saying, no. But I sort of was. He was at that level, and he's an absolute champion, Rhino. So, Mr. Ryan.
So did he tackle you then and there, or was it?
No, but he was, mate, can I tell you, he was very old school football. But, like, he's one of those blokes, you know, when you have your Gordon Tallis and that, you know, when they're in your team, you know that you're gonna be okay.
In terms of hardening up, can you do that if you know, had a week where your defence has been sloppy and you get someone like him in? Is that just an attitude thing, or is it not really the technique? Those guys you've played at that level, the technique's there. What does that do having him around for a while?
Yeah, look, I think we've had it a few times at the Broncos, over the years, because you know, your attitude, mate. Because they're such a good attacking side, the Broncos, sometimes defence, even though they're a good defensive side, when you bring someone like him in, it's just a good kick in the butt sometimes. You know, you've got guys like Adam Blair there, Josh McGuire, good defenders, but when you bring someone like him in, it's just a mindset. The season's getting along, and you know it's round 25 or round 26, and it's just a nice little kick up the butt. And then there's one or two things. They used to have this sand pit that we used to have to tackle in, and mate, I always used to get Shane Webke. Like, you know, wingers didn't make many tackles, but just you know what it's like, Gerds, mate. With a guy like Shane Webke and Brad Thorne, mate, just going at you, it's an attitude.
What did you have to do in the sand? What did you have to do in the sand?
Just tackle each other, like, right, six in a row, and then someone would tag in, and then there'd be a little game where you'd have to just, you know, go bang to the corners and that. And, oh, mate, Wayne was just loving that. Wayne used to love that.
Occasionally, I'd get water and then be a bit of a mud thing as well. It was terrific. What about the Broncos as they now head into the finals footy?
Yeah, like Wendell, based on defence, wasn't it, the other night? The Cowboys have been so good, and they were really resilient the other night, but they threw a lot at the Broncos. 55% possession they had, and they almost completed it 90%, so their season was on the line, and they played accordingly. So, yeah, the Broncos had to defend really well, and that was what they based their game around. Yeah, other than just sort of needing to turn around what happened against Parramatta, we all know the Broncos can attack. So it was just, as you said, an attitude adjustment. Really impressed with Benny Hunt, started the game.
Yep. Yeah.
And just thought that some of his options, especially kicking from dummy half, is a real string to their bow now. And Nick Arima seems to be sort of getting better, was able to sort of slip in there at fullback, but I still think he's a half, and that combination with those three through the centre of the ruck are going to be dangerous when they go out with that attacking mindset. They've got to get their defence right, but yeah, Broncos for mine are a side that are just going to get in the finals and attack and really test sides defensively, and you're going to have to be good to stop them.
But how good was it too, like, as you said, with Ben Hunt there, playing for 80 minutes, he's so quick out of there, just adds another dimension, but also that bench. You know, Tevita Pangai, Herman Esa, you know, obviously Benji came
off in
there.
Offhand Gowie.
Mate, you know, they're so skillful. And that second phase play, that's where you're going to beat teams like the Roosters and Melbourne come finals time.
I think they need someone else. Oh, I mean, I like Sammy Thaiday. He's such a great player.
Yeah.
But starting in the front row, I'm not sure who they can bring in to
Corbin
maybe...
Corbin Sims?
Maybe Corbin. I think he was in a sling, though, last
night. He's gone for the season. I'll tell you what it does set up. It sets up a brilliant opening week of the finals. Broncos and the Roosters have got a great, rich history in terms of rivalry, and they both play an exciting brand of footy. They're prepared to take some risks. They're tough in defence. Sammy Thaido, you just touched on him there, Goods.
Yeah.
He and Jared Weary Hargraves have had some brilliant clashes over the years, so I can't wait for the opening week of the final.
And it depends where it's played on what happens right here this afternoon. Crucial game for the Roosters. They're fully expected to win against the Titans. They do that job, then they meet the Broncos right here at Allianz Stadium. If it goes the other way around, then they make the trek to Brisbane to Suncorp, which is not where you want to start your finals campaign.
That's a tough road.
Yeah, well, they got smashed there. Remember early in the season? Yeah. That's when Latrell Mitchell got his tap on the shoulder and went home for a couple of weeks and just sorted himself out a little bit.
Just confirm for me, Hoop, so you reckon that Darius Boyd will miss next week?
Yeah, I don't think he'll play, Tony. He's got a grade one strain of his hamstring, same with Tavita Pangai Jr., and I think that the Broncos, given they've got the luxury of knowing that they will get another crack the following week because they've finished inside the top four, I don't think they'll take the risk.
If you want to hear this call this afternoon with the ridiculously biased Roosters call with some absolute Roosters devotees.
Gee, how entertaining would it be if the Gold Coast won and those three had to sit just up there angry. And just wallow in it?
Those three, of course, being Brian Fletcher, Fletcher and Heine, you know, Pagey, you would have seen, or here, of course, on the grill team in Sydney on Triple M, but also on the Professor's Second Year Syndrome, and Gus Warland, who I think owns half of the North Shore, but still loves the Roosters.
Mm. And, he's got a fair bit in the East as well.
Does he? Yeah, just some investment properties, I understand.
He's got bases loaded.
Yeah.
And he's Hugh Jackman's mate.
Exactly. Download the Triple M NRL app right now and click on the link. The ridiculously biased Roosters call. Plenty to come. Saturday, Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers. One, two, three,
never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Ryan Gerler, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Tony Squires with you at Allianz Stadium. Hoops, you told us a few weeks ago that it was going to be, what, the Foo Fighters or...
Yeah. They were gunning for the Foo Fighters. They were gunning for the Foo Fighters. Okay. Then Black Eyed Peas were also on the shortlist.
Yep, okay.
And then I got to say, you take it away, Tony.
Macklemore is the entertainment for the Grand Final, the NRL Grand Final. You know, look, every time there's an announcement of who was doing the entertainment before any of these like big games, there's always those who are on. Never heard of this bloke or whatever. Then Alan Jones has decided that, you know, this is completely the wrong decision. Now, I don't know how much you know about Macklemore. I'm just very keen to find out in this room what the feelings are about Macklemore and whether he is the right choice. 133353 as well, if you've got something to say. What do you think? I know, Del, that you're a little bit of a Macklemore fan, aren't you? Can you just talk us through the oeuvre? What sort of stuff does he come up with?
Yeah, I don't know. He's just very, sort of a bit of hip-hop, sort of rap sort of music, so suits what I like. Thrift Shop was their first sort of big hit. They come out and then they got a few slow songs too. I think Growing Pains, that's
do we want to listen to a little bit of, for those who don't know, because you're all keen to get to the grand final, clearly, and Triple M listeners, for example, not be very much across Macklemore. Yeah. No, I'm not going to give you a full 5 minutes. This is just a snippet of some of the Macklemore work. Have a listen.
Went to the moped store, said, f*** it. Salesman's like, what up, what's your budget? And I'm like, honestly, I don't know nothing about mopeds. He said, I got the one for you. Follow me.
On stage.
Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine, dressed in all pinks and my gator shoes. Those are green drapes and a leopard mink. Girls to the next to me. Probably should have washed this.
Feel it?
What's going on, Gerd?
It doesn't matter about the genre, Tony. If I feel it, I feel it.
You feel it, feel it. How you feeling yet?
No, I'm dancing.
Oopsie. You. Macklemore. That's Macklemore.
Yeah, you know what? They're not playing his best stuff, Tony.
What's his best stuff?
Whoever put that piece together just doesn't know the man himself.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
No, right.
He, glorious, glorious. Everyone knows that song. It's all about his 106-year-old grandmother. He spends the day, gives her the best day of her life. I think it's fantastic. I can't wait to see the big man on stage.
Yeah. Really?
Been a big fan for a long time. Well, I Googled him yesterday, to be honest.
I was about to say. Look, I've got to be honest, I hadn't heard of him. Do they play him much on Triple M? Does he get much of a start on Triple M?
I don't think he's a high rotation at Triple M.
But look, I haven't heard that little snippet there, and I do know the song that Gerds is talking about. Yeah, look, we'll see how he goes.
Isn't the idea people are going to get on their feet, move around, just get into it, a bit of dancing? Do you have to be, you know, like old-time rock and
roll? No, you don't. That's it. You know, there's going to be 85,000 people there. Yeah, they're all going to be in the mood, and you need a big-time entertainer to get down the front and perform and get the energy levels up. It doesn't matter what the lyrics are or if people can connect with it. It's just all about someone setting the scene.
Amen, brother.
And he's going to set the scene, Wendell. Give me an amen.
Can I get an amen?
Wait a minute. I mean, that's my only concern. Yeah. I don't think he'll set the scene. What, is he going to come and wear the jersey of both grand finals?
Oh, does that set the scene, does it?
Well, you got the feeling that he knows the teams, he's part of it. You know, if you had a powder finger, you know that they're...
He's from Seattle.
Cole Chisel was all time when they played the grand final.
Oh, that was good.
That was super.
Is that the 2015?
It was 15, the year that the Cowboys won. Yeah. And after that, I'll never forget, everybody said that is the best grand final entertainment of all time. Look, he's a little bit different, but I'm happy with that tone. You know, I think the AFL have got the Killers. Mm-hmm. I reckon they're a cool band. I think they would go well too. The Foo Fighters for me would have probably been more of a preferable choice, but I understand they've gone this way.
In 2017, we've got to open our minds up a little bit. And I think
I'm with you, Wendell. I'm with you, and I could see how much you love that music, so I'm buying.
Yeah,
that is good. Say that again, please.
Yeah. Wendell. In 2017, you've got to open up your minds to something different.
Thank you. And vote yes. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Back more for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.